Isn't this a sports show?
She broke my heart once again. I should have known she would trade another man.
Almost entirely.
Oh, I don't want to get too savvy. With my heart on my sleeve, the Chiefs hate it when I'm happy.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I don't care anymore. I'm dead inside.
Take the show with you by listening on the Sports Radio 810 mobile app at 810WHB.com or by searching for Almost Entirely Sports wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the tale as old as time, song as old as rhyme.
Chiefs losing before the cast-offs playoff.
This is Almost Entirely Sports on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I want to die. I don't want to live anymore.
I really didn't think we were going to do the exact same show 2 weeks in a row. But here we are anyway. Beards and I are back in the ESPN Kansas City studio, which is a place that we only revisit in times of incredible need. We need it tonight because I can't wait until tomorrow to talk to these good people on the other side of the earbuds about what happened yesterday.
I wanna die. Darkness will consume my body and mind. I really wanna fuck.
That was, Beards got so nervous. You've got to re-beep that. I mean, this is a podcast on Facebook. Like, yeah. That's fine. But you are going to revisit that. I could tell by the look in your eyes. I was staring at Beards while we were listening. Oh, I like the how about that part again. Can you go back about 5 seconds just after the beep, please?
Yeah, hang on.
Beards was pretty sure he had played the unedited version there.
No, I knew it was. I just didn't realize how unedited it was.
It was barely edited.
You ready?
Yeah.
Happiness is Satan's embrace, reaching for my lifeless corpse, driving into oncoming traffic. Hey, how about that? Dropping a blow dryer in my bathtub, cool and good.
So this is the mood, this is the energy that we bring in on a Monday that I think everybody, it's really hard to talk over Beards, you gotta kill it. You gotta let it die.
Just like the Chiefs.
I mean, I think everybody on the planet, 15 minutes into that game at the end of a quarter, 17-3, right? I was like, oh yeah, this is, everything is fine again. Everything is cool and good. Tyreek Hill's back.
Texans Reddit was on fire.
Texans Reddit was on fire.
Which we're never going to hear that.
Yeah, that's just lost to the
It's just
abyss.
On my notepad.
Everything was good. Everything seemed better. The defense actually started really strong. I know that seems impossible in retrospect, but it really did. The Chiefs got the ball and scored. Frank Clark punches the football out of Carlos Hyde's arms. Chiefs get the ball back, settle for a field goal, force a field goal. Chiefs score a touchdown, 17-3. First quarter ends with the Texans having the ball. And then they put up 20 points in the second quarter. The Chiefs do nothing. The Texans basically did to the Chiefs what the Chiefs did to the Raiders that the entire universe laughed at them for. And, man, there's a lot going on in here. We don't have a lot of time in the studio today, so I'm going to try to get you the best stuff in the next 30 minutes or so. But if you want more, we did the post-game show, me and Brad Porter, on Sports Radio 810 last night. That's up in the 810 mobile app and on the 810 website. We'll do a show tomorrow. We'll talk to Seth Kizer. Earlier today, I talked to Seth and Nate Taylor on Times Ours. That's available. But for the next 30 minutes, we've got to figure out what we even sink into here. This is different than last week. Seth had a point on Twitter that I really liked where he said, this game is what Chiefs fans thought happened in the Colts game. This was a game where in that second half, the game got really short. And also, the defense last week did plenty for the Chiefs offense to win that game. And in this one, both sides of the ball let the team down. Against the Colts, it was really the Chiefs' offense. Really. You would take that performance from the defense every week. This performance against the Texans, not the case. And so this one feels a little bit different to me because there's not an easy scapegoat. There's not an easy answer. It's not, well, Tyreek Hill will get back and everything will get better. It's not, oh, just, you know, Chris Jones would have fixed it. He would have really helped, but he wouldn't have fixed what we saw yesterday. And today, I feel like the energy has just been very different from not just like Twitter at large, but from people that I respect. Reporters and writers and columnists and whatnot. Nate had a really great article on the Athletic that was essentially, hey, the team that we saw on Sunday actually like won't win the Super Bowl. And whenever you're working in terms like that for this team, which we are this year, we're working in terms of, is this team going to win the Super Bowl or at least be there for it? Whenever you have those expectations, stuff changes. And so the game yesterday feels like it actually kind of shook something in a lot of people's belief in the Chiefs. I would say for me, it shook the ease in which things can be reconciled. I think the Chiefs have a little bit of a harder path than I thought they did last week to being in the AFC Championship game, which previously felt like a shoe-in and now feels at least a little shaky. Or to winning that game against the Patriots, which currently feels like the beginning of a joke as opposed to something they have a real chance of doing. There's more. They really do need to improve. The Colts game felt very fluky for a variety of reasons. The Texans game, they lost. And so it feels different in a way that bums me out. I also last week talked about when we started every show with, hey, we can't, if we talk about the defense at the beginning here, it's going to be so I can try to explain my opinions on why the defense is the wrong scapegoat for this game. Not what I'm going to do today. You can disagree with some of my takes, or you can disagree with how I arrive at certain places or whatever. Like it's radio and football and Twitter. So I expect that at this point. And sometimes you will hear me disagree with you in a way that, you know, if you're going to come in these Twitter streets, come correct. I'll dunk on you if your tweet's bad. Most tweets aren't that bad. And I saw Beards mark that. That's fair. That's a threat that I've delivered to the American public. And so, like, I welcome people to disagree with me, whatever, that's fine. But one thing that I try to make clear to the point where you almost can't fight me on this is I'm not going to bang the drum for the same take or the same thing regardless of circumstances and the things that we see. So I'm not going to say the defense wasn't the problem against the Colts, so it also wasn't the problem against the Texans. See what I mean? I'm happy to reevaluate with every piece of new information. And I listen, man, I still think, and I've heard Andy Reid in the post-game press conference, and then again earlier today at Arrowhead, I believe, time of possession came up. I still think time of possession is a really bad metric to do any math by. If you want to use it as a microcosm of a larger point, you can. I think you're still missing some points in there. But it's fine, I suppose. Like, they got thumped in the time of possession game. But again, there's no bonus for taking a longer drive. Like, I'm 100% still there because I think that's simply factually correct. But I can also say the fact that their drives in the fourth quarter and really throughout the entire second half were so lengthy, it shrunk the margin for error against the Chiefs, specifically in the second half, in a way that the Colts didn't do that, the Ravens, no one this year has done like the Texans did in the second half of this game. And when the Chiefs had their offensive opportunities, they also failed in the whole time of possession battle. If you're going to go that direction, which again, I would discourage, But the Chiefs had a 15-second drive and I think a minute and 15-second drive or a minute and a half long drive, something like that. They possessed the ball for 2 minutes on their last two drives combined. It was a minute 15 and 15, a minute and a half, 90 seconds they had the ball in the fourth quarter. Actually, I think that might have not have all been in the fourth. Their last two drives, two of their three drives in the second half, which is wild. 90 seconds. But for me, again, if you go to the time of possession and everything, here's what happens there. You go three and out twice, even with a singular touchdown drive in the middle. The Chiefs, whenever they punted back the ball after their 15-second drive, they were up by a point, and they got the ball back down a touchdown with all the time in the world, and they lost 4 yards on a pass play, and then they had a running play on second and 14, and then whatever happened on third down, I literally have forgotten because second and 14, I blacked out after that. It was an incomplete pass, apparently to Blake Bell, was the intended target on that one. And then they punted away. That's a situation that you've taken so many times with this offense. And so I don't mind putting the first look on the offense, because that's what this team is. It's Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, and then everything else in basically whatever order you want to put it in. And that mostly goes to the offensive line in terms of blame. It's been rough for a couple of weeks. And even whenever they weren't directly hitting Mahomes, the game was changing and what Andy Reid was willing to do and willing to call and what Mahomes was willing to attempt. Everything got shorter and had less time to develop. So again, it makes it more difficult for guys to beat these downfield matchups if you don't trust your offensive line to hold up there. And whenever Mahomes is completely healthy, and he today again said the ankle's not, again, it's not perfect, but it wasn't holding him back or whatever. He can say that, and I think you can still see that he is on some level limited by it. And whenever he's completely delimited by it, a porous offensive line doesn't mean you can't take shots down the field, because his arm talent is crazy and he can escape from anywhere. You have that cheat code whenever you have a healthy Patrick Mahomes, but the Chiefs don't right now. And so you see where that affects this offense. Tyreek Hill came back and he helped solve some of the man coverage stuff out at Arrowhead today. Mahomes talked about how the Texans started in press man coverage, but then started backing off Tyreek Hill, and then the safety started cheating over that way to help cover Hill. That shows you what Tyreek Hill does to open up the rest of the offense, and the Chiefs just weren't able to capitalize enough other places. And also, Hill played like half the snap, something like that. So we accidentally start with the offense again anyway, because it is the Chiefs' offense, and I'm going to come back to the refs also, because it needs to... You know what? Let's just talk about the refs now. We'll give the defense their time at the
refs
end.
Refs bad!
It's bad, bad.
Woof!
It was bad, bad.
They stuck.
Was that stuck? Did you say they stuck?
I was going...
Where were they stuck?
I was going between stink and suck.
They stuck.
And they stuck.
They were super stucky.
Rodney Stuckey, who played for the Pistons? There's my NBA correlation for the day.
I feel like you wanted to do this bonus pod today so you could say Rodney Stuckey, who played for the Pistons.
I haven't thought about Rodney Stuckey in years until right then.
You know how long it's been since I've thought about Rodney Stuckey?
10 seconds?
Ever. Ever until just now. And now I will never forget Rodney Stuckey. Pull up Rodney Stuckey's career stats, please.
I'm seeing when he last played.
I figured you probably
2017.
Were. Who is this? What was his stretch of team, Spears?
Detroit and Indiana.
Just the two?
Yeah.
Midwest guy.
He was moderately okay.
Where did he play college ball? Rodney Stuckey.
Eastern Washington.
Cougars?
I don't know. Let's find out. Eagles.
Good work. The refs were Rodney Stuckey in this game. And here's the thing, man. I really don't want to be the dude. And I was going to say, hey, Beards, can I say the B word in this particular instance? I can't say it on the radio, but I could definitely say it on a podcast and on Facebook. So I'm going to. Hide your kids. I don't want to be the guy bumplaining about the referees.
Why?
That's the B word. I don't want to spend this entire Monday bumplaining about the referees.
Sounds like you're bumbling around while complaining about them.
No, while bitching about them.
Oh.
Oh, I don't want to be here whining about the refs on a Monday following a game where the Chiefs did plenty of stuff wrong, right? Like, I think that's generally a pretty loser move. Like, in a literal sense, right? I don't want to be but the refs guy. And, like, a bunch of holding calls being detrimental to your day. I'm not going to talk about the refs. I don't think on AES or on the post-game show or whatever, I don't think we've had a serious referee conversation all year. And the reason that I can't push that away today is that this isn't a scattered randomization of problems. This isn't within the margin for error. For the Chiefs yesterday, in two specific instances, the referees made the objectively wrong call, and they had tremendous repercussions for the Chiefs' offense in really big moments. Really big moments. And I don't even think any of that's particularly arguable. You have the whole cluster bleep of the interception, which, by the way, the only audio that I wish I would have brought in for the podcast today was Steve Spagnuolo. Did you hear this, Beards?
No.
Sarin asked Spags about the interception.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, hey, I know you're busy on the sidelines and everything, but you know, with all of this and the way the rule was put it and everything, what do you think happened there? And then we went on literally like a 30 to 45 second back and forth of the entire media room trying to explain what happened on that play to Steve Spagnuolo, who had no idea that happened.
What was he doing?
Coaching the defense. Like, they were looking at the Microsoft Surface, which Eric Bieniemy cannot remember the name of. I think Sterling and I last week had the whole conspiracy theory that Microsoft Surfaces aren't real. Eric Bieniemy could not name it. Lebo gave him the answer on that one. But he was coaching the defense, and they're communicating and adjusting and everything. And I think I genuinely think that Spags just knew that they got the Texans got the ball in the 20. It was very funny and really bizarre. We'll play that audio for you tomorrow on tomorrow night's show, Chief show after the baseball game. I'll pull that audio.
Chief concerns.
It's not really called that,
but it is in our hearts.
It will always. Yes, I can say it. It's Chief concerns to me.
With lasers.
And so that whole play.
That's what we should call this.
The emergency pod?
Yeah, just call it Chief Concerns.
We need to have more bleeped up branding.
Yes.
We need to have more disjointed. You want to create our own Chiefs Concerns podcast page? By the way, you're using the home stretch layout for this, Beards. Just notice that.
It's fixed.
The whole time our Facebook template was for Sterling's show. I'm not Sterling, and this isn't his show. His show doesn't start for a while.
That explains why Caden asked earlier, you mean this isn't Sterling Holmes?
That's how I'm going to end my segment.
Okay.
This long segment today. I mean, if you're listening to this or watching this, and
I am a professional,
you want more Chiefs talk, Sterling's doing a nice job between 4 and 6 over here on ESPN Kansas City. Beards, not so much. Beards doing less of a great job. But so in the referee conversation, that interception play, everyone listening other than Steve Spagnuolo knows what I'm talking about, so I'm not going to like play-by-play it. But it was a cluster, an absolute cluster, and not of like chocolate-covered peanuts, which are great. It was miscalled. It seemed like one of the refs was getting like an illegal notice in his ear to change the call. And what really needed to, it wasn't even like, apparently wasn't challengeable because it wasn't pass interference. The challenge would have been for defensive holding. None of those challenges are getting overturned anyway. Mahomes says after the game that he actually was targeting Travis Kelce on that play, which I have my doubts about. I think it's probably more likely that he saw him get mugged and then took a free shot like he did on that excellent first touchdown, the Tyreek Hill. But that play gives the ball back to the Texans instead of giving the Chiefs a first down. Because at the very least, that's defensive holding. At the very least. And then on third and five, on that second-to-last drive that went 15 seconds, the Chiefs got to third and five, and then they had a play to convert there, and Travis Kelce got tackled over the middle. And Reed challenged it, and there's a whole, like, you know, you got to give it a shot, right? It's still early enough in this rule that maybe we'll get something. Nope. Nope. Just definitely not. They're never overturning any of those things unless a defender pulls a shiv out of his sock or a steel-toed pipe from like the small, a steel pipe out of the small of his back and just kneecaps a dude. That's what it would take. It would take that kind of act of violence. Travis Kelce could get tased, and if they didn't call it on the field, I don't think they're overturning it. And that was a missed call that should have given the Chiefs a first down. And if the penalty wasn't committed there, the Chiefs just convert that pass. Those are really important. Those are really important mistakes the refs made that really limited the Chiefs in two huge moments. So that matters. That is a relevant part of this conversation. I've said this many, many times in many, many platforms. NFL referees have a very, very difficult job, and they're not very good at it. Both of those things are true. The NFL doesn't equip them for it very well. There are perpetually issues of use the microchips that are in the football instead of chain links and note cards. Let someone from New York communicate in the ears of these guys. I don't care, but do it consistently. Use the technology available to you to make the refs better. I don't want the human element in sports rule keeping. I want the human element in sports playing, but I would like for the rules to be enforced the exact same way all the time. And even on stuff like holding on the offensive line and everything, where it's always going to be really tough, fair enough, fine. But that's totally fine with me if someone from New York wants to radio down and say, hey, pick that up. But in this instance, that was the wrong call. Like, blatantly the wrong call. And again, that affects the Chiefs. At the risk of being refs guy, that was a mistake and a pretty sizable one. Two pretty sizable ones. Defensively, it was a mess, man. It was a mess. It was worse than it was against the Colts. It was more damaging than it was against the Colts. It had less good moments than it did against the Colts. It was bad. Last week, we talked about how the Colts did some of the Steelers playoff game kind of stuff. Just run the ball, but really this is on the offense. This felt way more like the Patriots playoff game, the AFC Championship game, where they ran the ball successfully, but damn, they threw it to DeAndre Hopkins for 4 yards a lot. Converting these first downs, and some of them weren't even on third downs. Like, they were converting some of this stuff on second. They'd run for six, throw for five. Run for five, throw for six. Run for three, run for four, throw for four. It felt like that was constantly happening. And the Chiefs couldn't get the defense off the field. They couldn't get a stop. Again, for me, the length of the drive is going to be something that other people are way more worried about than I am, because I think that is a symptom of a larger problem and not the actual problem itself. That might be the most eloquently I can describe how I feel about the time of possession thing. It can be symptomatic of what the real issue is, but it's not the real issue. And the run defense conversation we've been having for 2 weeks, I think holds true. The Texans didn't beat the Chiefs by running the ball constantly, but they were able to run the ball constantly. The conversions they had through the air, the moments that Watson was able to scramble on passing plays, all of those things were necessary for the Texans to win this game. The win probability and expected points added and all of that plays exactly to what I'm saying, again, because it's math and it's consistent. But they were also able to run the ball a ton, which did give them some short second and third downs. That's not really arguable. That's where this is a problem. Whenever you're consistently converting all of these third downs, and if it ends in touchdowns and not red zone stops or field goals, the way you got there doesn't matter all that much. Even whenever you're doing it the less efficient way, being on the ground. The Chiefs defense couldn't stop any of it yesterday. Thornhill has the pick, which ultimately ended up being a problem. And I mean, you could say the game was swung significantly there. For the record, literally zero problem. Patrick Peterson's on my TV, by the way. I saw Jalen Ramsey and then Patrick Peterson. The fielding trade calls to Patrick Peterson. Let's go. I'm going to come back to that also, by the way. I have absolutely no problem with the decision at the end of the half to try to go score. They had timeouts and time, and the Ravens could have gotten 3 points. Mahomes got hit in the backfield. He shouldn't have taken, like, he needed to feel that pressure, and that pressure also needed to not be there so much. The secondary had some moments, because again, it's the Thornhill pick, the Charvarius Ward pick made me genuinely happy, because that's the part of his game that he has failed at for a while, is to find the ball and make a play on it. Now, that was like a really short field. That wasn't the same thing as sprinting down the sidelines and getting your head around, but it was a damn fine play. One-handed grab over DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, just an excellent play. I don't mean to couch that in any way whatsoever. A great play from Charvarius Ward. And I'm not pissed at Juan Thornhill. It would have been better for him to just knock it down, but man, there's a lot going on there, and it was an excellent play regardless. It could have been a more excellent play, I suppose, but it's neither here nor there at the moment. The running game just did what it wanted in its very, very short bursts, as running games tend to do. The passing game did a lot of what it wanted, often in short bursts. And the defense provided very little resistance, especially in that second half. They helped at the beginning of the game. They helped, you know, spot the Chiefs 2 touchdowns. And then the offense stumbled and stumbled and stumbled. And the defense stumbled and stumbled and stumbled. And that's how you lose. You spot yourself 14, hot out the gate, and it slips away slowly. And that's an infuriating football game to watch. I probably don't have to tell you that. But it's an infuriating thing to watch. You can have a question, all the questions you want, about coaching and scheme versus the personnel. Whenever I listen to Steve Spagnuolo talk about his scheme and the coaching and all of that, I tend to think that he's a dude that knows what he's doing. I also might be getting biased by a coach who's good in a press conference. Like, Andy Reid doesn't really give you anything. He's not bad in that role. He doesn't give you anything. Though Eric Bieniemy gives you absolutely nothing. He says things in cliches and doesn't give anything away, which is fine. Like, that's generally what most coaches attempt to do, I think. Dave Tobe will give you some stuff, but he's the special teams coach, right? And maybe a little less to unpack there, but Spagnuolo will talk to you. You know, he'll have kind of a what feels like a relatively genuine, almost conversational answer to a lot of things. And for me, it makes me a little more likely to buy the idea that he really knows what he's doing. Not that any of those other guys don't, obviously. Please don't twist that one back on me. But listening to Spagnuolo talk about what that defense is doing gives me a little bit of confidence. But he also said today, like, yeah, he has total confidence in the personnel that he has. And so, if I mean, you see the conflict there in that logic? I mean, something's not working. I don't know. They missed Hitchens badly. Ben Neiman can't be your starting Mike linebacker. That's obvious. Darren Lee had some absolutely horrible moments. Damian Wilson might have had his worst game as a Chief. Those are your starting linebackers. The defensive line was a mess. There weren't all that many instances to get pressure. The Texans got rid of the ball extremely quickly, which is a little bit surprising to me. But, you know, Frank Clark has the great play in the first defensive play of the game. He has a really bad play lined up across from Deshaun Watson, just a couple of yards out from the end zone. The safeties were pretty good, but I saw Matthew near. I'm going to rewatch the game whenever I get home tonight. But he was near a lot of completions. I don't know if he was cleaning up someone else's mess or if they were his messes. A couple of the clips that I have gotten the chance to look at again didn't seem like they were his fault. I don't know. The safety position is much, much improved. But some of the other conversations we've had, we touched on a little bit on Time Zards, and I'm sure we'll talk about it more over the course of the week, even as there is a game coming up on Thursday night, by the way. Even with that nearby, I'm sure soon we'll, and over the course of the season, we'll continue kind of evaluating where Brett Veach is at, because the draft picks haven't really done anything. Frank Clark, I've established in my opinion on him at the moment, is that he's certainly clearly a good football player, but he was paid $100 million and brought in to be a game wrecker, and he hasn't done that yet, and that's not even really arguable. Anthony Hitchens, that's a bad number on him. Sammy Watkins can't stay healthy. And that was a known part of that signing whenever they made it. So that's all out there. And I'm not 100% sure where you land on Brett Veach at the moment. But this season will be telling. It definitely will. There will be some hot takes for Brett Veach at the end of this season, no matter what happens.
A lot of Chiefs Reddit hate.
Yeah,
just got finished looking through all that.
You lose two games in a row, and then you want, you know, we have smarter football fans than we've ever had in the history of the sport, and so you start to see fans doing a better job of this guy sucks, but you know it's not really Darren Lee's fault that he doesn't bring that he's not Luke Kuechly or Bobby Wagner, because he's just Darren Lee. But who brought in Darren Lee, and then who's playing Darren Lee? You know, that kind of thing. I do think fans are getting better at managing all of that. But what that means is that you start looking at the GM a little bit sooner. The one thing that popped up on Twitter, and this is relatively brief, at least briefly that we can get to it, is I tweeted about Patrick Peterson tweeted he was going back to work, and I tweeted a GIF to it, right? And someone said, "Come on, Josh, right? You got to be kidding yourself. You think a corner fixes this defense?" No individual anything fixes this defense. You could go trade for Bobby Wagner for whatever that would cost. It would not fix this defense. This defense has problems. However, if you genuinely ask, what can a corner do for this team? Do you like it whenever the Chiefs blitz and whenever Spagnuolo is even more aggressive? I do. Do you like it whenever they can blitz without actually maybe exposing themselves in the back end a little bit more? Yes, I do. I enjoy it whenever that happens. By the way, Beards, you could probably cut that whole last couple of sentences about exposing on the back end and how much I like it. And that out of context will be a real doozy.
That'll be fun.
I'm sure it will be. It gets way, way easier to bring extra pressure when you know that one of your cornerbacks can survive on an island. Not literally. If you brought in Patrick Peterson or Jalen Ramsey, there are a couple of screenshots that I've seen on Twitter of just like those dudes lined up across from another dude, and then the other 10 guys on the defense are lined up from, you know, the left tackle to the right sideline. And everything from the left tackle to the left sideline is just Jalen Ramsey across from one receiver. What that allows you to do is you can have Dan Sorensen out there as like a light linebacker, or when Hitchens comes back, you can leave Ben Neiman out there as an extra linebacker. You can have that safety playing closer to the line to help with the run. You can scoot some of that safety help, let it all cheat to the other side, and just say, hey, we're going to let you Patrick Peterson or Jalen Ramsey or whatever, we're going to let you exist in a vacuum here. This is completely about you and this guy. We're going to worry about everything else. If you can win a matchup one-on-one defensively in football, that is so valuable. And so I absolutely think that Peterson or Ramsey or a variety of guys, that list is shrinking, that could be available would benefit the Chiefs. Also, the corners haven't been the problem. But not being the problem isn't as good as being one of the solutions. So Mo Claiborne, Tre'Davious Ward, Bashaud Breeland, even with all of his holds, those guys haven't cost the Chiefs football games. But if you can have a guy who frees up more of your defense to do more creative and unique things, that's good for everyone. So something to keep an eye on. The Chiefs play the Broncos again on Thursday. Keep your ear to this podcast feed. We'll have another show for you coming in tomorrow night. It'll be an hour or so following MLB playoffs tomorrow on 810 if you want to check it live. Otherwise, we'll bring it to you on the podcast feed, and that's where we can make sure you're always hearing us whenever we do Almost Entirely Sports. Post-game will be me and Brad Porter Thursday night following the game between the Chiefs and the Broncos. We'll talk about that some tomorrow. I'll talk to you again then. Bye, Mom.